Chapter 12. Assurance and Comfort for Those Facing Death. Messages of Sympathy and Hope to a Faithful Assistant. Marion Davis, who joined Mrs. White's staff in 1879 and was associated with her in the work in America, Europe, and Australia for 25 years, contracted tuberculosis in 1903 and a year later closed her life work. Miss Davis was a faithful and trusted literary assistant, much beloved by Mrs. White. See Selected Messages 251 to 254. Melrose, Massachusetts, August 17, 1904. Dear Sister Marion Davis, I would be pleased to be at home, but just what meetings I shall consent to attend is uncertain. Therefore, we will do the very best we can. I am asking the Lord to strengthen you. We are hopeful that you are better. Do keep fast hold of the Lord, your hand in the hand of Christ. Marion, you must not become discouraged. Your case is in the hands of the Lord, and you must now submit your case in regard to treatment to let the physicians, Dr. A and Dr. B, do those things for you that must be done. We have other books to put in your hands when you shall overcome the illness now upon you. Be sure to eat, even if it causes some pain. The longer you refrain from eating, the weaker you will become. We may inquire, how can the Lord have need of us? Is not our God full of might? Will you not lay hold on His strength? No living being can help you as the Lord Jesus can. Trust in Him. He will care for you. Melrose, Massachusetts, August 24, 1904. Dear Sister Marion Davis, let not one anxious thought come into your mind. I am sorry you are so ill, but do everything you can on your part for the recovery of your health. I will see that all bills of expense shall be settled. I am not well, not able to travel but a little distance in the carriage. I dare not commit myself to the lengthy journeys on the cars. As long as you and I shall live, my home is your home. Marion, nearly the whole time I have been away, I have not relished food, but I dare not cease to eat, for then I could do nothing. I have eaten when I could not relish food in order that I might live. I have relished food since I came to this place. I put my trust in God and plead with Him for you and for myself. We are to have no anxieties or cares. Just put your trust in the Lord. All that is needed for you and me is to believe and trust in Him who is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto Him and will put their trust in Him. Hold fast my hand, Jesus says to you and me. You are encouraged to think right thoughts upon Christ our Savior, your Savior, and my Savior. You have rejoiced in every opportunity of doing what you could to promote His glory, and you will be led into the city of God when the last trump of God shall sound, and we shall be received with genuine joy. Marion, you have been united with me to bring sound doctrine into actual contact with human souls, that they may catch the inspiration and produce sound practice. The form of sound words is to be prized above gold and silver and every earthly attraction. You have loved the truth. You have felt intensely over the great neglect our Lord and Savior has been receiving. Oh, to be like-minded with God! This you have longed for. There is no genuine saving elevation for man apart from the truth of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Psalm 103, verse 1. Now please let you and me have a thanksgiving service every day. Is it not due Him who has spared your life these many years in answer to the prayer of faith? Give yourself into His hands in your weakness and trust in Him fully. We will take the Word of God as the grand rule of our lives, the heavenly panacea in our hand. We have tried, you and I united, to bring before minds the true form of doctrine, mingling holiness, mercy, truth, and love. We have tried to present these in simplicity, so that souls shall grasp mingled love and holiness, which is simply Christianity in the heart. We have done what we could do to present Christianity as the crown and glory of man's life here in this world, preparatory to entrance into the city of God to be His dear, precious, redeemed ones in the mansions He has gone to prepare for us. Then praise the Lord. Let us praise Him.
Please eat, Marian, because your earthly physician would have you eat, and the great medical missionary would have you eat. And Sister M.J. Nelson will get anything you ask for. No one can be more pleased than I to have your life spared to continue to do the work. But if your or my time is come to fall asleep in Jesus, we must not shorten life by refusing the nourishment that the system must have. Now eat, my dear, whether you want to eat or not, and thus act your part toward recovery. Do your very best to recover, and then, if it please the Lord to give you rest, you have done what you could. I appreciate your labors. Praise the Lord, Marian, that Jesus, the great physician, can heal you. In love, College View, Nebraska, September 16, 1904. Dear Sister Marian, I keep your case before me, and I am grieved that you are troubled in mind. I would comfort you if it were in my power. Has not Jesus, the precious Savior, been to you so many times a present help in times of need? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, but cease worrying. This is what you have many times talked to others. Let the words of those who are not sick, as you are, comfort you, and may the Lord help you, is my prayer. If it is the Lord's will that you should die, you should feel that it is your privilege to commit your whole being, body, soul, and spirit into the hands of a just and merciful God. He has no such feelings of condemnation as you imagine. I want you to stop thinking that the Lord does not love you. Cast yourself unreservedly upon the merciful provisions that He has made. He is waiting for you to heed His invitation. You need not think that you have done anything which would lead God to treat you with severity. I know better. Just believe in His love and take Him at His word. No suspicion or distrust is to take possession of our minds. No apprehension of the greatness of God is to confuse our faith. May God help us to humble ourselves in meekness and lowliness. Christ laid aside His royal robe and kingly crown that He might associate with humanity and show that human beings may be perfect. Clad in the garments of mercy, He lived in our world a perfect life to give us evidence of His love. He has done that which should make unbelief in Him impossible. From His high command in the heavenly courts, He stooped to take human nature upon Him. His life is an example of what our lives may be. That no apprehension of God's greatness should come in to efface our belief in God's love, Christ became a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The human heart, given up to Him, will become a sacred harp, sending forth sacred music. College View, Nebraska, September 26, 1904. Dear Sister Marian, we pray your life may be preserved until we meet you once more. But you may not die, but live. Look to Jesus. Trust in Jesus, whether you live or die. He is your Redeemer. He is our life giver. If you fall asleep in Jesus, He will bring you forth from the grave to a glorious immortality. May He give you peace and comfort and hope and joy from henceforth. Put your entire trust in Jesus. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, "I have graven you upon the palms of my hands." Marion, if you go before I do, we shall know each other there. We shall see as we are seen and know as we are known. Just let the peace of Christ come into your soul. Be true in your trust because He is true to His promise. Lay your poor, nervous hand in His firm hand and let Him hold you and strengthen you, cheer and comfort you. I will now get ready to leave this place. Oh, I wish I were with you this moment. In much love, comfort to a minister dying of cancer. We do not forget you. We remember you in our prayers at the family altar. I lie awake nights pleading with God in your behalf. Oh, I feel so sorry for you. I will continue to pray that the blessing of God may rest upon you. He will not leave you comfortless. This world is of but little account, but, my dear brother and sister, Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Matthew 7, verse 7. I plead this promise in your behalf. My brother, one night I seemed to be leaning over you and saying, "Only a little longer. Only a few more pangs of pain. A few more suffering hours, and then rest. Blessed rest." In a special manner, you will find peace. All humanity must be tested and tried. All of us must drink the cup and be baptized with affliction. But Christ has tasted death for every man in its bitterest form. He knows how to pity, how to sympathize. Only rest in His arms. He loves you, and He has redeemed you with His everlasting love. Be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. All who live in our world from henceforth will know the meaning of trials. I know that God will give you grace, that He will not forsake you. Call to mind the promise of God. Write, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Revelation 14, verse 13. Be of good courage. I would be with you now if I could, but we shall meet in the morning of the resurrection. I was also speaking words of comfort to Sister C. I was encouraging her, and the room seemed to be filled with angels of God. Let both of you be of good courage. The Lord will not leave nor forsake you. Deeds preserved through eternal ages. God's messengers are to hold aloft the standard of truth until the hand is palsied in death. When they sleep in death, the places that once knew them know them no more. The churches in which they preached, the places they visited to hold forth the word of life, still remain. The mountains, the hills, the things seen by mortal vision are still there. All these things must at last pass away. The time is coming when the earth shall reel to and fro and shall be removed like a cottage. But the thoughts, the purposes, the acts of God's workers, although now unseen, will appear at the great day of final retribution and reward. Things now forgotten will then appear as witnesses, either to approve or to condemn. Love, courtesy, self-sacrifice, these are never lost. When God's chosen ones are changed from mortality to immortality, their words and deeds of goodness will be made manifest and will be preserved through the eternal ages. No act of unselfish service, however small or simple, is ever lost. Through the merits of Christ's imputed righteousness, the fragrance of such words and deeds is forever preserved. Christ will lead us safely home. Was ever an instance known where a dying Christian gave to his watching friends the testimony that he had been deceived, that there is no God, no reality in the religion of Christ? But how many of those who have drawn about them the dark robes of atheism have let them fall before the grim messenger of death? We might cite many instances where learned men have gloried in their unbelief and in parading their atheism. But when death claimed them, they have looked with horror into the starless future, and their dying words have been, "I have tried to believe that there is no God, no reward for the faithful, no punishment for the wicked." But how vain has been the attempt! I know now that I must meet the doom of the lost. Sir Thomas Scott, in his last moments, cried, "Until this moment I believed there was neither a God nor a hell. Now I know and feel that there are both, and that I am doomed to perdition by the just judgment of God." Voltaire was at one time the lion of the hour. He lived in a splendid mansion and was surrounded by every luxury that heart could wish. Kings honored him. The great men of the world sought his society. On one occasion, men took his horses from his carriage and drew him themselves in triumph around the city. Go now to the deathbed of a Christian, Haliburton of Scotland. He was in poverty and was suffering great pain. He had none of the comforts that Voltaire possessed, but he was infinitely richer. He said, "I shall shortly die. In the resurrection, I shall come forth to see my God and to live forevermore. I bless his name that I have found him, and I die rejoicing in him. I bless God that I was ever born." Giving an account of the last days of Sir Davis Brewster, his daughter writes, "He thanked God that the way of salvation was so simple. No labored argument, no hard attainment was required. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ was to live. He trusted in him and enjoyed his peace." The last words of this great man of science were, "Life has been very bright to me, and now there is the brightness beyond. I shall see Jesus, who created all things, who made the worlds. I shall see him as he is. Yes, I have had the light for many years. Oh, how bright it is! I feel so safe, so satisfied. The way of the transgressor is hard, but wisdom's ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. In the downward road, the gateway may be bright with flowers, but there are thorns in the path. The light of hope which shines from its entrance fades into the darkness of despair, and the soul who follows that path descends into the shadows of unending night. But he who takes Christ for his guide will be led safely home. The road may be rough and the ascent steep. There may be pitfalls upon the right hand and upon the left. We may have to endure toil in our journey. When weary, when longing for rest, we may have to toil on. When faint, we may have to fight. When discouraged, we must still hope. But with Christ as our guide, we shall not fail of reaching the desired haven at last. Christ has trodden the rough way before us and has smoothed the path for our feet. Those who walk in wisdom's ways are, even in tribulation, exceedingly joyful. For he whom their soul loveth walks invisible beside them. At each upward step, they discern more distinctly the touch of his hand. At every step, brighter gleamings of glory from the unseen fall upon their path. And their songs of praise, reaching ever a higher note, ascend to join the songs of the angels before the throne. The path of the righteous is as the light of dawn, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The grave consecrated by Christ. Christ has consecrated the grave by passing through death. The Lord Jesus broke the fetters of the tomb and proclaimed over the rent sepulchre of Joseph, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 11, verse 25. The grave is consecrated by his presence. Footsteps of him that bore the cross are traceable in his life and testify of his character. Our washing and ironing time. We know in whom we believe. Men may talk about our having our minds fixed too much upon heaven, but we know better. We have been in the work nearly 48 years, and we know something about God's service. I know best what bereavement is when I stand here alone, when he who stood by my side and on whose large affections I have leaned for 30 years is gone. And yet I am not alone, for Christ is my helper. Oh, I wish the curtains could be rolled back and we could see Christ in his glory. We are to be members of the royal family, children of the heavenly King. Now it is our privilege to know that Christ is by our side as our helper. Christ says, "I know thy works." He knows whether you are living a life of perfection and if you love to talk and think of him, and whether it is your joy to praise him. Do we expect to get to heaven at last and join the heavenly choir? Just as we go into the grave, we will come up as far as the character is concerned. For this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. It is the body that will be changed then, but now is the time for washing and ironing. It is the time to wash our robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. Ripening for the harvest. The camp meeting at Worcester, Massachusetts, August 22nd to 28th, was an occasion of special interest to me. I there met a large number of believers, some of whom have been connected with the work from the very rise of the third angel's message. Since our last camp meeting, Brother Hastings, one of the faithful standard bearers, had fallen at his post. I felt sad as I saw others weighed down by the infirmities of age, yet I was glad to see them eagerly listening to the words of life. The love of God and his truth seemed to glow in their hearts and to light up their countenances. Their eyes were often filled with tears, not of sorrow, but of joy, as they heard the message from God by the mouth of his servants. These aged pilgrims were present at nearly all the meetings, as if they feared that, like Thomas, they might be absent when Jesus should come in and say, "Peace be unto you." Like ripening grain, these precious, tried, and faithful ones are fitting for the harvest. Their work is nearly done. They may be permitted to remain till Christ shall be revealed in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They may drop out of the ranks at any time and sleep in Jesus. But while darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, these children of the light can lift up their heads and rejoice, knowing that their redemption draweth nigh.